Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm going to complain to you guys for about 2 minutes. Maybe longer. I don't know. I just have to share what's in my heart. Today, Kevin McCullough decided that he's going to go back to KU, and good for him. I don't really know where he was going to go, but he is determined that he is coming back. And then, Rob, as I was thinking about Kevin McCullough coming back, I then saw the roster for Kansas for this upcoming year. And then it just hit me. Why does everything always work out for them? Everything. Like, I'm looking at their starting five. We live in the transfer portal era. They have the best transfer that has ever hit the portal. Just magically attends Kansas. DeJuan Harris has like 5 more years of school left. Kevin McCullough is back. KJ Adams is just going to be a dog this year. Like, I already know. Like, they've turned KJ Adams into an All-American for basically our entire life. KJ Adams is going to average like 14 points a game, 9 rebounds, and be the 11th pick in next year's NBA draft. I don't know who this Nick Timberlake guy is, but I'm just going to assume that he's really good. Every single year, it always works out for them. It makes me sick. And then on my side, I'm sitting here. I get all excited about my team picking up a transfer. Oh, we're finally going to get Caleb Love. No, we don't get him. Then I get really excited about something else. No, we don't get him. I hate that everything works out for them. I know I'm not the only one that feels this way about Kansas. It makes me sick. Every single year in offseason, we got to do this. I start expecting a little bit of hope. A little bit of respite from it. But no, I mean, we know how this ends. Every Kansas basketball season goes the exact same. Every single one. They'll lose a game in non-con, and then Bill Self will tell us that they're not tough and they don't guard anybody. And then Christmas break will happen, and then they'll figure things out. And then they'll lose one game. They'll lose one game to like Iowa State, Texas, or Baylor in the first 3 games, and then we'll have the conversation if they're going to win the league again, and then they'll win the league again, and then we'll argue for really no reason if they're going to be the number one overall seed in the tournament or not, and they probably will, and then they'll go to the Final Four. I mean, just, I can't do it anymore. Rob, I'm at my wit's end with Kansas. I'm sick of them. Why does this happen every year? When does it change? When does it get better for the rest of us?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have had a great offseason. I have lived my best life. It was sad. There was emotions and a second round exit when you have, you know, a guy who finished in the top 3 in National Player of the Year voting. And that is a hurtful moment. And then 10 players enter the portal or leave the school. 10. I mean, they lost 2 hockey shift lines of players, but since that moment, I think it was Nick Schwartz that put on Twitter, this might be the best offseason ever. People are talking, and I know you were wondering. I know you were sitting there being, I don't know who this is. I'll tell you about Nick Timberlake. I got you. Don't worry. I'm here for you. Nick Timberlake is a transfer from Towson. He averaged 18 points a game last season and shot 42% from three. So if you're wondering who that character is, don't worry. I'll keep you up to date. But I don't know what you're talking about with being down on the offseason. It has brought me nothing but joy. I believe the term they use is spring Bill is undefeated.
Someone said, can we add this take from you every year to the schedule? Yeah, no, we can. I didn't say that I'm not part of this too. I'm also part of the cycle with KU. I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the issue. But I saw this news today and how happy KU fans were. And then I looked at the roster and I was like, well, I mean, why am I getting excited? Because I know I'm going to talk myself into a December. Hey, you know what? Missouri, they got a chance to keep it close. No, they don't. They're going to get beat again by 31 points. I already know I'm going to talk myself into it in December.
I mean, one of the top 10 recruits in the country, Elmarco Jackson, is a sixth man on this roster. I believe the term is embarrassment of riches. Are you going to come to Allen this year? I know you dipped out last time on Allen, but you went last year. You saw a great pregame video and then an even better basketball game, just an elite game. McCullough played great in that game.
I got to work.
No. You'll be free. You know what? I'll put it in the calendar for you.
I got to work. I don't have any interest in going to I don't mind going to Allen when they're playing Texas. I don't mind it. I don't mind going when they play Harvard. You know, they play a game. It's like, all right, cool. I got tickets for like $20. Sure, I'll go watch the game. I got to pay to watch them thump my team. No, I'm not signing up for that. Why would I sign up for that?
We can wander around Lawrence. We can maybe get a Wang Burger before. I can show you all the greatness that is Lawrence, Kansas. And then we can walk down and head to the fog and watch what I imagine will be an exciting basketball game.
I just can't imagine. I can't. There are some of you listening right now that your two favorite teams are the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas basketball. I hate you. You're just happy all the time. Just all the time you're happy. Those are your two favorite teams. I mean, you like the Royals, but I mean, the fact that the Royals aren't good, it doesn't bother you that much, you know? Your number one team is the Kansas City Chiefs, or it's the other way around. Your number one team is Kansas, and then your second favorite team is the other team. It's just 24/7, 365 happiness, just parades, and you get to celebrate Bill Self and Patrick Mahomes. You get all-time venues to go watch your team. I mean, just being a sports fan is supposed to be hard. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to build perseverance. You've never had to persevere through anything if you cheer for KU. You don't know what real fandom is like. Everything's just come so easy to you.
I sat through the Bryce Thompson Kansas era. Okay, I know the struggle.
Here you go.
That team lost in the second round to Evan Mobley in the quasi bubble. There is no pain like that pain. Bill Self said in the offseason, we're not athletic enough. That was the lowest of lows for Kansas basketball fans.
Okay.
A hurt you can't imagine. They had the number one overall pick in the draft. They lost to Stanford. Just pain beyond pain.
Okay. I remember having a top recruit too, and he played 3 days. He played 3 days.
I may have seen him play more live basketball than most Missouri fans. I went to the, charity shootout or whatever. He played in that game.
Yeah, no, he did. It was there. I was there. It was.
That was a good game too.
No, it wasn't.
When are they going to meet up back in T-Mobile Center now? When is next that year coming?
Next year is the T-Mobile game. No, next year. Someone said CDOT, but we also have to cheer for the football team. Stop it. You guys didn't acknowledge the football team until they got good.
A lot of fans were there when they were 5-0.
Yeah, you guys didn't acknowledge the football team until they got good. You guys treat Kansas football the way that we really treat the Royals. Like, hey, I mean, they're not good. I mean, we're not going. I mean, when they get good, we'll go back. We'll go back. I appreciate you guys for letting me vent. You know, I feel better. You might not feel better, but sometimes I have to do a segment for me, you know?
I mean, KU does have a former Missouri player on the roster this year, so that's got to bring you a little bit of something.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll average 11 points a game, even though he was terrible at Mizzou. Terrible at Mizzou. He was awful at Missouri. He averaged 7 points a game last year in Santa Clara. He's going to go to Kansas and now turn into Jeff Withey. I just already know how this is going to go. Every single year, the same thing happens. It just upsets me. Speaking of Kansas, one of the teams that left the Big 12 is potentially thinking of coming back to the Big 12. And no, it is not Missouri. I'll tell you who it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and friend of the show, Andy Reid.
I can't believe you're waiting that long for that question.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. There are rumors circulating the interwebs right now that Colorado was looking to come back to the Big 12. Colorado left because they thought the grass was greener on the other side, and I'm sure that it was for a certain amount of time, but USC has left the conference, UCLA has left the conference, and everybody in the Pac-12 is trying to figure it out about what's best for them, and Colorado looks like they could be doing the same thing and heading back to the Big 12. Rob, do you even want Colorado back? I mean, it makes some sense for Colorado. BYU is about to join the league, and you always want to be in a position of power. Now, the Big 12 isn't in the same position of power that the SEC or Big 10 are, but we've kind of known that from the beginning. But I would say that if you're the Big 12, your number one focus needs to be that if this thing heads to what they've been saying basically since you and I were in college, Rob, and they kept talking about these super conferences that were going to break off and they were going to have their own rules and they were going to govern themselves. If that's the plan, you need to position yourself in a way to be one of those four conferences. That's what you need to do. We already know what two of those conferences are going to be. The Big Ten and the SEC. They will be a part of whatever the future of college athletics looks like. You need to figure out if you are going to be a part of it. I'm not sure about the Pac-12. They lost their two most valuable assets. And I'm going to guess that if you offer a life raft to Washington or a life raft to Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, at some point they can be a part of your conference too. All of this just seems so silly and so stupid. But if we're going to get closer to basically creating the NFL, because in college basketball, we have essentially created the NBA. But is this really what we want as fans? Sure, it's going to make more money for the people that run college athletics. Do we really want a lesser version of the professional sports that we already have? Because that's what it seems like we have in college basketball now. We have free agency where everybody can join whatever team. And are we basically going to get the exact same thing in college football? I mean, that's what it seems like we're headed towards. We're headed towards an AFC and an NFC.
I'll say this about Colorado, and it was Barry Trammell who said it.
Yeah, from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. I will say, the team itself, Colorado, does not move the needle for me as a Big 12 fan. The same way UConn and Gonzaga really haven't moved the needle. The same way, it moves the needle more than UCF, Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, but it doesn't like spike the needle. But I think what Brett Yormark and the Big 12 are doing is very, very smart, because ever since conference realignment dust settled post USC and UCLA heading to the Big 10, the only news or only rumors, only things we hear are the Big 12 is interested in Team X. The Big 12 is talking to Team Y. The Big 12 and Team AA could be joining up one day. You're right. We all see it coming. There are going to be three mega conferences and everyone else. That is going to be how college football, college basketball is shaped. I agree, we don't want that, but that is going to be what it looks like. And I think the Big 12 is smart to be positioning itself as the best of the rest league. You might not have the anchor tenant of a Georgia or a Bama. You might not have the tradition of a Michigan or Ohio State, but if you have a conference with a Gonzaga, a UConn, a Colorado, a Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU, that is a solid grouping of best of the rest, and you get to be one of the three big boys. And for a long time, we joked the Big 12 may dissolve and disappear. It doesn't seem like that. It seems like they're becoming Conference 3, and they're fine living in that Conference 3 lane.
I think you have to feel good if you're a fan of the Big 12 or one of your schools is in the Big 12, that for the first time since all of this really got going in 2008, 2009, the Big 12 seems to be on the offensive as opposed to playing defense. They seem to be proactive as opposed to being reactive to all the changes. The Big 10 and SEC have always been proactive. They operate from a position of power. They have a better television agreement than you do. They get all their member conferences to sign up for this one thing. Like, those two conferences run on solidarity and strength. And then they've been able to kind of pick what they want from the other conferences. The Big 12 was in a position back in 2009, 2010, that they were playing reactive. Oh, wait, you took Nebraska. Oh, wait, you took Texas A&M. Now we have to respond to what you're doing. Somebody has already made the first move on the Pac-12. All right, you were not going to get USC or UCLA. I think we know that. You need to go pick off what you want from it. There's no love in conference realignment. If you want Colorado, go get them. If you want Arizona and Arizona State, go get them. The same way that we used to have a Big 12 North and South back in the days before all of this stuff happened, you need to try to create a Big 12 East and West. Hey, you guys can still stay together. Keep your regional rivals, and we can do an AFC, NFC, and we can meet in the Big 12 championship game in the same way that we do it. We'll keep our member schools together that we still have. We'll keep our K-State, our Iowa State, our Oklahoma State. We're in this together, but we got to operate from a place of strength here. That's what I want to see the Big 12 do, and I give them a lot of credit with their new commissioner. They are operating from a place of strength, and we have not seen that in, what, 14, 15 years of this conversation.
I mean, There's a real nerdcore way to get into this. We don't have to, but the ESPN thing where they say we're only going to give tier one rights to the SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12 is a really big deal for the league. Because you're right, there was a long time. Chuck Nynas, Bob Bowlsby, all these commissioners. Who was the interim guy? There were person after Dan Beebe, person after person who ran the Big 12. Seemed like people would come on the radio and say, oh, the Big 12 is going to die, because it looked like it was withering on the vine. The new commissioner has solidified their rights. They are going to be with ESPN for a long time, which you want to be on the four-letter network. That is a good spot to be. They look like they are adding teams, and they are going to gear up to get to 14, 15, and 16, which is where you want to be. They are actually, for the first time ever, forward-thinking. Is it a little bit of a loser's mentality to say, hey, we're fine being conference three in the world? Maybe. But in a world of only three, being one of the three is a major deal.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Being one of those, you just want to make sure that you have a seat at the table. Because I think we're going to realize that the amount of seats that are at the table moving forward is just going to be fewer and fewer seats. It's going to be fewer and fewer opportunities for you to be a part of the conversation. You're still part of the conversation. You got to do everything in your power to ensure that you will continue to be part of this conversation. Earlier today on ESPN, Dan Orlowski was on the show, and we'll get back to the Chiefs here coming up more at the bottom of the hour as well. But Dan Orlowski was on ESPN's Get Up, and he gave the two teams that he think are the biggest contenders to the Kansas City Chiefs.
But now he's got that chip on his shoulder that I'm going to prove everybody wrong and that I'm still the baddest dude on the planet, while also being excited about where he is and who he's doing it with, his offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. And I think the Jets are in like this very unique space. There's two teams that I think are the most equipped to beat Kansas City, because that's what this season is about. One is Buffalo. Everyone keeps sleeping on Buffalo. And then the two are the New York Jets. Those are 1-2 to go knock off Kansas City and get back to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati. And I think also, here's my push out back on Cincinnati in a second. I think this is the best defense Aaron's ever played with. And he played with one really, really good defense in Green Bay in like 2010, I think. They won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. This will be the best defense he's played with. Energized, offended, and talented. This is a team that could absolutely beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was Dan Orlowski earlier today on ESPN's Get Up. The biggest contender to the Kansas City Chiefs is still the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't care what moves the Jets made this offseason. I don't care what moves Buffalo made this offseason. The team that has shown that they can stand toe-to-toe with Kansas City and compete at the absolute highest level is still Cincinnati. I don't even think it's close. I don't think Buffalo's the second best team in the AFC. They had their chance to show us that last year. They lost a home playoff game, and they got dominated in the playoff game. There's some seeing is believing with the Jets. Right now, all of the hype for the Jets is in theory. It's in conversation. That's all you can do in May. We'll get a chance to see with the Jets how good they are this upcoming year. I mean, the first month or so for the Jets, it ain't a cakewalk, at least not based on what we think these teams are going to look like. I mean, the first four games for the Jets are against Buffalo, a team that won double-digit games last year, on the road against Dallas, a team that won double-digit games last year, and they play Kansas City. I mean, they played three teams in the first four games that won a playoff game last year, and all of those teams won double-digit games. Now, sure, the Jets could be better than we think. They could be worse than what we think. But just based on our perception of these teams going into it, Rob, we'll find out how good the Jets are by October 2nd, given how their schedule starts off and the teams that they go up against. We will know very, very soon. And these are, I mean, three of their first four games. They play Monday Night Football on September 11th against the Bills. They play the 325 game on CBS, and they play Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs in week four. We all will have the opportunity to see the Jets in the first month of the season and really determine how good they are. Can you go 3-1 in that stretch against those three teams? You go 3-1 in that stretch, we got to take the Jets very seriously. If not, then I think the Jets are going to be a 9-8, 8-9 kind of football team.
I know that I fell for it last year at the Broncos, but I think there is a reason to be a believer in the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers has any juice left, that Jets defense is really good and really young. They are well coached, and they're in a division that I know is difficult, but we think they're going to have probably the easiest schedule after that first four. After October, it lightens up for them. It does. They're playing a last place schedule. That's how it works. It does ease up a hair. So
I say that though, really quick. Sorry to cut you off. I mean, after those first four games, we don't got to go through the Jets' entire schedule. I mean, after that, they play on the road against Denver. And I have no clue what Denver's going to be this year. Now
on paper, you take the Jets though.
After that, though, you play Philadelphia, the Giants, who made the playoffs last year, and the Chargers.
Like, we're both down on the Giants, though. Come on now. We're both way down on the Giants.
It's also on the road, though. It's on the road against the Giants now. It's not really on the road, but there's that division. You both play in the same stadium. I mean, I don't look at their schedule as being cakewalk. I understand we say last place schedule, but given the fact that you play in the AFC, so you play in the tougher of the two conferences, and then, I mean, just looking at the games they play, I mean, out of their first eight games, Rob, they play five teams that made the postseason last year. The Jets don't get one of those schedules that I think is going to allow you the opportunity to build a, hey, the Jets start at 6-2. The Jets start 6-2 in their first eight games against five playoff teams from last season. Then I am totally wrong on the Jets, and you got to take the Jets very seriously as a true Super Bowl contending team. I don't view the Jets that way.
I don't view the Jets that way either, but I think Dan Orlovsky's wrong. The Jets are a threat to the Chiefs. I think Dan Orlovsky's wrong to have them above the Bengals. I think all that is nonsense. But could I see the Jets being a 9-8, 10-7 playoff team? Absolutely. Could I see them after Aaron Rodgers kind of gets into a rhythm, similar to how the Packers were last year, and they're coming down the stretch, and you're thinking, hey, if they win a game or two, suddenly they're in the playoffs. Remember, the Packers were a game away from the playoffs last year after Aaron Rodgers got into a rhythm with those guys. Similar things could be happening this year. I could see that happening. I'm not buying them as a threat to the Chiefs, but I'm not sure I'm selling them as not even a chance to make the playoffs as a team.
Yeah, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs, but I would still say that based on their roster, I still consider them to be the second best team in their own division. Like, how seriously am I going to take you if I view you as the second best team in your division? If you can't win your division, then I'm just not really sure that you can win against the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up at the top of the hour, Matt Quatraro, the manager for the Kansas City Royals, was asked a simple question. Hey, are you guys interested in bringing back Eric Hosmer? We'll play for you what he said. Keep right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Rob, really quick question. Juvenile, the rapper, he has signed up to do a Tiny Desk. A lot of people are very excited about this.
I hate to interrupt. Real quick. What is Juvenile and what is the second thing you said?
Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
Eric Hosmer recently was DFA'd by the Cubs. Eric Hosmer is kind of falling on some hard times. I mean, it's hard to say that about somebody who has made over $112 million in his baseball career, but Eric Hosmer has now been DFA'd for three times in the last 12 months, and you know what? Eric Hosmer is probably at the end of his baseball road, and that's not a bad thing. Eventually runs in, you know? eventually you're not selling out T-Mobile Center the way that you used to. You can't fill up Arrowhead the way that you used to. But that didn't mean that you didn't have a great music career. The sounds changed. The times changed. That's what it seems like has happened for Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer has played double-digit years in the league. He's going to get his pension. He has made great money in his Major League Baseball career. He's played in two World Series, won another one. I'm sure everything will work out quite fine for Eric Hosmer. Well, Royals fans have been asking, hey, is there a chance that Eric Hosmer can come back to Kansas City? Is there a chance that he could come play for the Royals? Well, Fesco asked Matt Quatraro, the manager of the Kansas City Royals, he asked him that very question, and I'm going to play for you what he said.
I have not discussed that with anybody, but I mean, if you just take a quick look at the roster, you know, and we have Vinny and Prado playing first and DHing, you know, I would imagine my initial reaction would be no, but, you know, I don't think, you know, the unfortunate thing, or, you know, you have roster limitations too. So you bring somebody in that in your, what you're talking about is not as an everyday player, that's going to take somebody else's spot that needs the at bats or needs the innings pitched. So that's the kind of thing you have to balance.
This is my strongest argument for bringing back Eric Hosmer. You guys can chime in, 913-586-7610. Now, I want to be clear that at the core of this, we are all probably on the same side. I don't think Eric Hosmer does a whole lot to help you win games. I don't. I don't think Eric Hosmer really moves the needle. But you know what I think Eric Hosmer could potentially do? He could make you feel good. And as Royals fans who have spent 5 years of feeling bad about the team and currently watching a team that is 20 games under 500 before all the schools have let out, there is a reward, there is a value to feeling good about something that they do or something that happened. DeRob, I would argue, I'd contend that the Royals in 2023 cannot sell you on winning. They can maybe sell you that in 2024 or 2025. I'm not ready to count those years out yet. But in terms of this season, we are past that conversation. They have done nothing so far over the first 50 games of the season to make me think that the next 50 are going to be drastically different than the first 50. So if that's the knowledge that I'm coming into this conversation with, you know what you can't sell me on? Nostalgia. After opening day, Rob, what was the biggest day they've had out at Kauffman Stadium? You and I play how many people are going to be at the game every Royals home game, and people are telling me 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people. What's the biggest crowd they've got this season aside from opening day?
Lorenzo Cain Day.
Lorenzo Cain Day. Rob, they were playing the Oakland A's. You guys were not at that baseball game because you expected to see a good game. You saw two of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. You were there because you wanted to celebrate the 2015 Kansas City Royals. They got a chance to celebrate the 2015 Royals. Now, sure, you're not going to get 20,000 out there every single night because Hosmer's on the team. But, man, you know what it'd be cool to see? It'd be cool to see Eric Hosmer play his last 100 games with the Royals. Is he going to play every day? No. Is he going to be a major contributor? No. But the worst thing for the Royals is not Eric Hosmer playing an August Day baseball game, and you just get a chance to see Eric Hosmer in a Royals uniform for one more time. He announces at the end of the season he's going to retire. He plays his final 10 games in a Royals uniform. At the end of the season, he thanks everybody for his career. And then next year he comes back and they give him the same ceremony that they just gave Lorenzo Cain. The Royals are not selling you when you go to the ballpark this summer that they're going to win or that they can be super competitive. So if that's the case, then you need to be selling fun. You need to be selling hot dogs. You need to be selling bobblehead dolls, jerseys, bring your dog to the park. You got to be trying to sell us on everything else. Continue to sell us on 2015 and sell us on the nostalgia of when baseball was great in Kansas City.
But aren't the Royals already trying this and failing? Like, Salvador Perez on the roster, they've given him two extensions since the World Series run. And he's actually playing good baseball, unlike Eric Hosmer. But the nostalgia of Salvador Perez, the World Series MVP, a fringe Hall of Famer, a definite Royals Hall of Famer. He's soaked in the glory. He had the game-winning hit in the 2014 walk-off game. Salvador Perez is as popular with those teams as any player in Royals lore. He's still on this team. Is he getting you out there? Is he bringing fans out there? Fans feel that way, like, oh, they might stink, but I still see Salvador Perez. No. Your favorite Royal of all time is who?
My personal
one? Your personal favorite.
Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke won the Cy Young here. He was a guy who stepped away from baseball, came back. He was a Royal. Royals fans loved him. I remember I was on the show when they re-signed him in 2021. We thought it was a huge deal. Zach is back. Here we go. It's so cool. We see 23 back in that powder blue. What an amazing moment. Nostalgia out the wazoo. Royals fans aren't going out there to see that. The easiest way to get fans back in the ballpark is winning. And Eric Hosmer or whoever isn't going to help the winning this year. But if he takes 100, 150, 5, 10, 15, 20, you pick the number of that bats away from a Pasquantino or a Prado, who we presume or hope, maybe just against hope, that they'll be on the roster the next time this team is winning, that is a setback. The Royals can't be in the nostalgia business. The Royals can't be in the, hey, remember 15 business. The Royals need to be in the, hey, we're rebuilding, but one day you should come out here for the winning business. And Eric Hosmer gets in the way of that.
And this is where you and I are a little bit different. The text line is on your side. CDOT, stop it. This is crazy talk. You probably want to give out old Mike Moustakas bobblehead dolls too. You guys tell me what the path to the Royals winning in this season is. We got what? 110 games left to Royals baseball? It's really less than that, because once they go to training camp, that's it. Or once the Chiefs go to training camp, that's it. The Royals have 30 games left in their season, 40 games left in their season, maybe a little bit more than that. Maybe my math's a little bit off by the time the Chiefs really start their season. I'm trying to figure out a way to make these 40 games more enjoyable. If your stance is the Royals need to spend money and put a competitive field on the competitive team on the field, I'm not here arguing that. But tell me, are they doing that on May 29th? Are the Royals investing more money on their team in May 29th? Or is this the team we've been given for this upcoming year? So, yeah, I'd be perfectly fine if they announced every Monday was 2015 bobblehead day for a reason to go out to the stadium. Hey, you know what we're going to do every Monday? We're going to give out a bobblehead doll from a starter on the 2015 team. Come out and collect all of them, and we'll give you a prize at the end of the year. The Royals have been begging you to go to games, and you keep saying no. They're doing promotions right now where they're giving four tickets, parking passes, hot dogs, and drinks for $40, and that's not motivated a single one of you to go to the game. Maybe Eric Hosmer and nostalgia will get you to go out there one or two times this summer and watch him. We're not asking the Royals for much. You know what we're asking the Royals to do? We're asking the Royals to get us to like July 27th is what we're asking them. Because August 1st, you and I both know, Rob, we ain't talking about him no more. That's what I'm saying.
Do you think having a bad baseball player who is about to retire gets us talking about them for more than a day? Because you're trying to get us to talk about them more. You're trying to get them to be interesting for the next get to July. Do you think having a player who's been objectively bad in the last 3 years of baseball gets us talking Royals more?
It gets us a week.
So you're going to bring in a player who could be an impediment long term
for
a week of content.
We only got 5 weeks left after that. We only got 5 weeks. And one of those weeks is the All-Star break. We only got about 5 weeks. It would definitely give us a week. If they sign Eric Hosmer to a deal, people will be excited. They'll put their Hosmer jerseys back on. He'll meet with the media. He'll go out there. Yeah, it'll give us a week. It'll give us a week of that feeling.
Zach Greinke didn't give us a week, and that happened in a dead zone. That happened in a March, right before the tournament, a.k.a. nothing to talk about time. Zach Greinke didn't give us that feeling. The Royals being the best team in April in 2021 didn't give us a week. That ended about a week after that. The easiest way to get back in the zeitgeist, the easiest way to get back to the top of the talking points is to win. And Eric Hosmer's nostalgia tour ain't doing any of that. It's a day if it happens.
So you think the Royals are just done till May of next year?
Yeah.
Because I would even say if they get off to a decent start, Let's say they get off to a decent start in April. There's going to be a group of people that are skeptics about the good start. You guys did the same thing in 2021. So the Royals are just done until May of next year. Is that what we're saying? And that's fine. I'm asking for clarity. Is Royals optimism dead until a year from now? And that's when we can maybe possibly be optimistic about the Royals.
Barring a tectonic shift type of trade, yes.
Goodness. Start using those kind of words. That's probably not going to happen.
I mean, I'm not talking about being transactional. I'm not talking about moving your first round pick for Drew Waters. I'm not talking about moving Jorge Soler for a reliever. I'm not talking about moving Whit Merrifield for whatever they got. If they trade a Pasquantino, if they trade a Melendez, if they make a James Shields type of move, that's a tectonic shift, then I think optimism might come back. But barring one of those type of deals, barring something in that category, yeah, I think we're out till May on Royals optimism of next year.
Have you been reading books or something? Like, where did this word come from? Like, you just pulled that word out?
I used zeitgeist and tectonic shift in this segment.
In the same take. There's a lot going on over there. What's happening over there? What's going on?
I like to show off my verbiage every now and then.
Did you hear about Fetty Wap, man? We're going to go down the nostalgia train. Let's just go down the nostalgia train. Fetty Wap going to jail.
Doesn't he sing songs about dealing drugs?
I mean, the whole song Trap Queen. I mean, he was really living his raps. So Fetty Wap is going to jail for 6 years in federal prison for his role in a drug trafficking scheme. His lawyer suggested that he turn to dealing drugs because of COVID. So, you know, COVID kind of had his money slowed up. So he figured out a way to kind of get some money. And he was doing some things he wasn't supposed to. He was charged in participating in a conspiracy to smuggle large amount of heroin, fentanyl, and other drugs into the New York area. They caught him. Fetty Wap going to jail, man. Rob, I didn't know Fetty Wap was falling on hard times. I would have donated to Fetty Wap. We as a city could have rallied around Fetty Wap, and maybe we could have saved him. For all the joy that he gave us in 2015, I'd have helped Fetty Wap out. I'd have donated 10 to this. I didn't want you to resort to a life of crime and get yourself out of your financial situation. We could have been there for Fetty Wap. I'd have put my arms around Fetty Wap and tried to help him. He came out and he said, quote, me being selfish and my pride put me in this situation today. He apologized to the judge before the bracelets went on. Now he going to jail.
Did he really blame COVID for this?
That's what he said, man.
Nothing was stopping you from being in the studio pumping out music during COVID. Taylor Swift was sure in the studio pumping out music.
Okay, let's not put Fetty Wap and Taylor Swift in the same financial category.
I'm just saying, there were artists in the studio pumping out hits during the vid.
I'd have been happy. I'd have donated a little bit of money to Fetty Wap, man.
I mean,
I would have contributed to Fetty Wap.
I'm just saying.
If he had started a GoFundMe that said, I'm falling on hard times, I need your help, I would have helped.
I'm just thinking about this.
I don't want him out here selling. These are serious hard drugs. He wasn't talking about pushing weed. He's pushing heroin and fentanyl. This is the drugs that kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, someone said that's too short. This is a minimum 5-year prison term. Or it was a minimum. So we got 6. So they gave him above the minimum 6 years in federal prison in New York. 6 years at Rikers seems very, very serious. Or Sing Sing. I watch a lot of Law and Order. Everybody in New York goes to Rikers or Sing Sing. That don't sound like a fun place to be.
The fact we know about Rikers is a testament to television.
Seems like a terrible place to be.
I mean, I'm just saying. Hot 8 years ago. Couldn't make money during COVID. Now he's going to jail for slinging drugs because his music career is dried up. That sounds very one-hit wonder-ish to me.
Yo, first, we're not going to do I'm
just saying, maybe I was
right. Stop disrespecting King Fetty Wap the way that you are. This is the second time that you've disrespected Fetty Wap. Stop doing that in my presence. Fetty Wap gave us a year of great music. That was it. We didn't get much more after that, but he gave us a year.
You were the one that told me Mike Tyson does broke boy behavior things. Fetty Wap does some.
No, that was real broke boy behavior.
One hit wonder behavior things.
That was real broke boy behavior. Yo, that COVID slowed up my money. I got to get back in a drug game. That's sad, man. Fetty Wap, 6 years of federal prison, man. Rob, you used to love Trap Queen when it came out. You can admit it.
I mean,
you were a big Trap Queen individual.
It was 2015. The Royals were hot.
Did you have Trap Queen as your ringtone?
No, I haven't had a ringtone in a long time.
What was your ringtone?
I just have the iPhone ringtone.
No, like at one point you either everybody that grew up around when we grew up, you either had a ringtone or you had a song that was on your like voice message. So when someone called, you had like a song playing. You were like, hey, it's Rob. I'm not here right now. Leave me a message. Beep. You never had a song during this time?
No, I had a song. It just wasn't Fetty Wap. It was Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Oh, that was your song?
Mm-hmm.
My song was Air Force Ones by Nelly. I was a big fan of that song when it came out. Huge fan of Air Force Ones by Nelly. You're going to call Nelly a one-hit wonder next? Is Nelly a one-hit wonder?
Nelly pumped out hits for a long time, and then he made the pivot to country music and pumped out hits. Made no sense, but
acting
it happened.
Too.
He did do
great
acting.
Great running back, Earl Meggett. Great running back Nelly was.
He sat there and watched Michael Irvin school Adam Sandler on the basketball court and thought, I'll play football with that man.
Yeah, very elusive. He was Barry Sanders out there on the prison yard.
Doing it shoeless, no less.
100%. Oh, it was a great, what a movie. I'm a big fan of the Longest Yard remake. People say they hate remakes. The Longest Yard remake was great. I was a big fan of it.
I mean, great. It was good. It was, let's not say,
I mean,
great.
For what it was. I mean,
okay.
I mean, it's Adam Sandler and a bunch of wrestlers. I mean, I don't know what we thought the Longest Yard remake was going to be.
I mean, Terry Crews, I mean, he was in that movie. He was Cheeseburger Guy.
Yeah, Cheeseburger Eddie, yeah. Man. What a film. You know what? Longest Yard is great. I'm not going to let you move me off of my original stance. That is great. Look at the weather outside. It's windy and raining.
What a pivot.
It's a lot going on outside. It was perfectly sunny and great outside. Now look outside. It's raining and it just looks terrible outside. Coming up, we will talk about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was asked today about his contract, and he said something that should make every single Chiefs fan smile. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.